It's certainly good to be here this morning. We had mentioned in the announcements two things that I wanted to do in large bomb. One is the cleaning yesterday, and I felt compelled to express my appreciation in addition to that was mentioned by Josh, primarily because I wasn't here. And felt a little guilty about that the first time we have a quarterly cleaning like this to not be present, but Deb and I were out of town. So I was so grateful to hear that so many showed up and so much good was done. I appreciate that very much. Secondly, I did want to enlarge just a little bit upon what Josh said with regard to the teachers' meeting next Sunday night. It's just going to be a short meeting with regard to the curriculum, and we don't need all who will be involved in the teacher program to be there, only those who are interested in actually teaching the classes, and that's inclusive of the middle school class as well. So all of the children's classes, I'd like to talk with the teachers and potential teachers with regard to what curriculum we're going to follow and look for their suggestions and input. So that's the purpose of it. It won't take very long. We'll have another meeting that will deal with some of more broad-ranging things later, but we did want to get this taken care of because we wanted to present that material to the men in their meeting on February 10th. So that's what we have as far as purpose, and ask that you indulge me in that. My lesson this morning is on the subject of remembering, and it's kind of a general subject, remembering what. We have to define that and talk a little bit about it. And I would like to introduce the study this morning by going to 2 Peter chapter 1. So I encourage you, if you will, to turn in your New Testaments to 2 Peter chapter 1. In verses 12 through 15. Now, on this particular occasion in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter explained his reason for writing his letter to them. He said in verse 12, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, having reference to the truths of God, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." That gives us an interesting example of why it is that Scripture is so beneficial to us, why it helps. And one of the things that I tell young men who I've had opportunity on occasion who are interested in preaching to do is to write, because by writing you do a couple of things. First of all, you establish some discipline yourself with regard to your preaching work, your work of ministry. But secondly, whatever is written remains, and especially if it's posted in areas, for example, on the internet, in an archived state, individuals can benefit from that. If you speak, chances are a number of you, if I were to ask you this evening what the subject was on, maybe not now since I'm going to tell you this, but I've done it before. I've asked my wife from time to time, "What did I talk about this morning?" or "What did you think about my lesson?" And she blanks out. You know, it's one of those things that's somewhat ephemeral. Even if you're paying attention, there have been people who have asked me, "That lesson you preached 2 weeks ago," and I have to go back and refresh my memory. But those things that are written remain, and that's the reason why the Apostle Peter wrote them. He knew that he would die. He would no longer be with them. But there were certain things he wanted them to know, and certain things he wanted them to remember after he left, and that's why he wrote those things down. What Peter understood is that remembering things actually is extremely helpful to us. Reminding him of things that they already knew would be something that would help stir them up, would help to motivate them. And we can recognize that that is the case, that it not only helps us to be stirred up and motivated, but it also helps us to, as we learn from what went before, to avoid those mistakes of the past, to appreciate the blessings that we have in the present, and also to understand the hope that we have in the future. And all of those things can be helped by acknowledging what has already gone before and remembering those things. Let me give you a couple of examples in this regard. The first one's a very simple one in Luke chapter 17. You don't have to turn there because the passage says, "Remember Lot's wife." But I want you to remember or consider the fact that Jesus was talking to his disciples about the impending judgment coming upon Israel and the need for preparation, because if you aren't prepared, bad things happen. And the bad things that happen are seen in that phrase, remember Lot's wife. Remember the consequences of her disobedience and recognize and understand that those consequences can be great. We, if we remember Lot's wife, it will help us to not be guilty of disobeying God. And so that's an example of it. Another passage that I do want you to turn with me to is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39. We'll go in, down into the 12th chapter in the first verse. But I want you to remember that, or remind you of the fact that the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews consists of a series of biographical sketches concerning individuals that existed in Old Testament times, lived during Old Testament times, who were virtuous in that they were faithful individuals. And that's what the Hebrew writer is talking about, is all of these individuals who were giants of faith. And then at the end of the chapter, he explains why it is that he describes these individuals, the lesson that he wants them to learn. And in verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11, he said that all of these individuals, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they didn't receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so he is giving them as an example to remind them of their faith, to use them as an example for us that we might too have faith in the midst of any trials or difficulties that we have. In fact, we could say that the text of the Old Testament was written aforetime for our learning. As we read those things and are reminded of their sins, reminded of their courage, reminded of their conquest, their disappointments, their defeats, and their relationship with God and how He treated them and how He reacted to their faithfulness and reacted to their rebellions. There are many things that we can learn as a result of that. And in actuality, I want to consider some things that would be helpful for us to remember by going to the children of Israel as an example. So we're going to spend a lot of our time in our discussion today in the book of Deuteronomy. Now I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And the first of three slides on this particular subject of remembering, we want to discuss the need to remember where it is that we have been in the past. We want to use Israel, first of all, as an example, because in Deuteronomy chapter 29, the lawgiver, Moses, basically calls upon Israel to remember their past. And you'll notice, beginning in verse 1, he said, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel, and he said to them, 'You've seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You've not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. When you come to this place, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan, they came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do.'" Now, I want you to recognize that this particular exposition by Moses was to remind them of where it was that they had been, where it was that they have come to, and all that was accomplished in the interim with regard to their wandering in the wilderness. When you consider that, among those things that Israel was to remember is their slavery as they were in Egypt. He wanted them to remember the condition that they found themselves in, oppressed state, or in oppression, or under oppression. Deuteronomy chapter 15, Moses, as he delivered the law to Israel, in verse 15 of the text, he said, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you, and therefore I command you this thing today." Now notice this. You need to remember you were a slave. You need to remember who it was that brought you out of slavery. And as a result of that, therefore, I command you this day. Therefore, this is how you are to heed, or why you are to heed the words of God and the commandments of God. In fact, that there were any number of times in the history of Israel where Moses referred to the care and the redemption that was afforded them by God. That is, that they were dependent upon Him and He came through again and again. In chapter 7 of Deuteronomy in verses 17 and 18, we're going to spend again a number of minutes in the text of Deuteronomy. And this is a great address throughout the book, addresses that Moses gives to the children of Israel. But in directing Israel to take the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 17, he says to them, "If you should say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?' you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt." He wanted them to remember the conquest, the care that God provided for them, so that they would know and recognize, that they could have confidence as they were presented with these new challenges. The fact that though those nations may be greater, you'll remember their view that we're as grasshoppers at their side, and as a result of that unwillingness to go up against the people of the land, as they denied or ignored, dismissed Joshua and Caleb, who said, "We can take them with God's help," then they were led to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. An entire generation passed as a result of that unwillingness to remember God's care and God's providence. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 of the text, he said, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." But through that entirety of time, though it was a time of difficulty, though they were not able to possess the land because of their lack of faithfulness before God, it didn't change the fact that God cared for them and provided for them and tested them throughout the entirety of their time. As a result of that, they needed to remember as well their rebellion. In Deuteronomy 9, chapter 9 and verse 7, he says, "Remember, do not forget how you provoked your God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You've been rebellious against the Lord." They needed to remember how they had rebelled against Him and have that serve as an object lesson to them about how important it is to submit themselves to God in His law. And finally, I think we need to emphasize that. A couple of passages in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 12. He said, "You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." Remember where you were. Remember what you've come through. Remember the redemption of God. And as a result of that, again, acknowledge the importance, the responsibility you have to observe the commandments of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 18, finally. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 18. "Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy." So he got a specific example. Here in the camp, there is an outbreak of leprosy. He said, "Carefully observe and do according to all the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. Just as I commanded them, you shall be careful to do so." These are practical applications. There are things that we have informed you of, things that Moses had instructed them to do, and they were to remember them because it was to equip them in whatever circumstances or situations that may arise. Can we not see the applications of these things? The importance of the same. And as we consider the case with Israel, we also need to understand how important it is for us to remember so that we might repent and reform our lives. I'd remind you in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5 of the church at Ephesus. You'll remember the church at Ephesus among these letters that Paul, that the Lord wrote to the churches of Asia, the seven churches. That in that particular letter in Revelation chapter 2, he told them that they had left their first love. And he called upon them in verse 5 of Revelation chapter 2 to remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. He said, "I want you to think back to this love and this zeal that you had when you first began to serve me. Remember that and repent and do the first works or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So there is a good application of this importance of memory to look back and to recognize that perhaps maybe I'm not doing the things that I once did. Maybe my zeal has lessened. Maybe the heat and fervor that I felt for the Lord has cooled. Maybe I have become lukewarm, to use the parlance that our Lord used with regard to Laodicea. And if that is the case, there is that need for me to return to the first works, to repent. And that will come as a result of my memory as I contemplate the way I was and the way that I am now. There is another thing to consider with regard to remembering where you have been in your spiritual life. It is so that you will be thankful. Paul is a wonderful example of this. Paul continually talked about what his life was before he became a child of God, before the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus and told him he had set him aside to be a minister to the Gentiles, an ambassador to those who are without. And because he had that constantly in his mind, the Apostle Paul, we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 1, that he was thankful to God. Thankful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, formerly a persecutor, formerly an insolent man. He remembered that he was a blasphemer. He remembered his insolence. And he said, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And Paul never forgot that. The passage that I love to quote from Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel is the power. He said, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. The reason why he had that motivation is because he understood what had been done for him. The salvation that he had attained. And as a result of that and the change in his life, he was motivated always to be thankful to God for those things and to share those things with others. And there's one final point along these lines, and that's found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, by remembering those things before, it allows you to have a proper perspective on life. Paul, again, he had that. He said, you know, if anybody has a right to be confident in the flesh, he said, it's me. He said, I have circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But he understood now, as he looked back on that, that none of that was worth grasping, holding on to. He said, what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That was his motivation. He remembered what his life was like. And he remembered what was important, what was needful, so that he would have something that far surpasses anything that he had in the past. So much so that those things in comparison are trash with regard to the value that he now enjoyed as a child of God. I want you to think about that. Remember back before you became a child of God, where you were without hope, lost in sin. And as a result of that great gift of God and sending his son Jesus to die for us, and the response to the gospel of our Lord, there was a momentous change that took place in your life. You were lost, now you're saved. Lost, now you're found. An individual who had no hope in the world, the one who has the hope of eternity. And as you remember those things, can you not see what is important in life? Can you not see how dangerous it is to prioritize your life in such a way as not to give proper preeminence to the things of God? To reach that point to where all of a sudden that does not have first place in my life. All of a sudden, again, I have allowed the worldly cares and concerns to gain that upper position in my outlook in life and the efforts that I make. That's dangerous. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You need to remember where you've been and the changes that have come forth, so that you will organize your life and reform your life to such an extent as to be pleasing to God, because after all, that is all that there is. Memory serves a great purpose in regard to this. The second thing of the three that I want to make note of is the importance of remembering what God has done, and specifically what God has done for you. And again, going back to Deuteronomy, this time in the 11th chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 7, Moses again was calling Israel to love God, and he tells them to love God because your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. You've seen it. We certainly have seen that as well. But I want you to think about Israel. I mean, all that Israel went through, from the time in which God took them out of the land of Egypt and all of the plagues that were visited upon the land, they were eyewitnesses to that. When they saw the enemy defeated in their chariots as they sought to come across the Red Sea, as God had parted the waters before them, and they were on the other side on dry land looking back upon the Egyptians drowned by God in his great power. All of those kinds of things, all of the miracles, the feeding even of manna in the wilderness and the quails and the fact that God had supplied out of a rock water for them at Moses' behest. And we see all of these examples, all of these signs, all of these miracles that they had witnessed. And Moses said, you saw those things. You witnessed those things with your own eyes. Remember them and love God. Well, there are so great and wonderful blessings that God has demonstrated for us as well. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated his love for us, toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We need to remember the death of Christ. In fact, communion. I appreciate it very much. Justin's reading of Isaiah, the prophet today, and that wonderful 53rd chapter, as there is that description that is given of a suffering Savior, and the fact again and again and again established by the prophet that he did these things for you and I. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul said that the supper was to remember. When Jesus gave thanks, he broke it, said, take, eat, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner took the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That's a memorial. And every Lord's Day we come together for the purpose of remembering the great work of Christ for us. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross at Calvary. We also remember the great works of God in order, just as the Israelites were called to do so, to remember those things as a way to bolster their love and faith. It certainly should be the case with regard to us as well. There's a text in Matthew chapter 16. It's kind of an interesting one. It'll take a little bit of explanation for us to get the point that I want to make. Jesus had admonished his disciples because he had told them, he had warned them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples came to the conclusion, he's talking about leaven, that he was referring to the fact that they had not eaten, that they had not made provision for themselves to eat. They had not brought food, in other words. And so Jesus admonished them. And what he admonished them about is an event which had transpired just recently, that if they would have thought about that event, which was the feeding of the thousands, the feeding of the 5,000, if they would remember that, they would have known that he was not talking about physical provision, but rather that they were to be aware of the corrupting influence of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so he says in verse 8, Jesus being aware of it said, oh, you have little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do you not understand and remember the 5 loaves of 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? What he basically is saying is, if we have need of bread, I can supply the bread. I'm not talking about the fact that you haven't eaten. I'm talking about a spiritual matter, and you're lacking in faith because you have already forgotten. You are not mindful. Now, can it be said of the disciples that they had forgotten it in the sense that it was no longer in their memory? I don't think so. When I were to ask you with regard to your standing before God and the fact that you had become a Christian, we talked about returning to your first love and having that zeal and ardor. Can it rightly be said that you just don't have any memory? You don't remember what it was like? No, of course not. What it means is you're not mindful of those things. You are not actively thinking back to what went on before, and that's what the disciples we're missing. You know, I recognize that sometimes our memory can fail us, but by and large, especially with regard to the things that happened early on in our lives, we have fond memories and strong memories of those kinds of things. We just do not bring them to the forefront of our recall, of our thinking. And as a result of the fact that we are not mindful of those things, that we do not actively remember those things, we may not have that strength in personal faith. We need to be mindful of what God has done for us. Remember the great works of God in order to help you endure throughout your life. I want to leave this point with 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8 through verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Again, this time, first of all the death, here the resurrection from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I want you to remember, Timothy, what Jesus accomplished in his resurrection from the dead, because that is what, again, motivates me, what keeps me strong, even as I suffer. I endure, he says in verse 10, all things for the sake of the elect, that they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Talking about the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, what was accomplished in Christ. And he said, if we consider those things, we can endure. But we have to be mindful. Bring them to our recall. Bring them to our remembrance. And then finally, the call was given in Deuteronomy to remember the covenant. Remember the covenant. And I want to note the importance of remembering God's truths, those things that are revealed in Scripture. Israel was given the promise that they would be safe and strong if they remembered that covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 5 through 9. He said, surely I've taught you statutes and judgments. This is Moses talking to Israel. Just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. And therefore be careful to observe them. Observe them. In order to observe, you have to bring to your remembrance. Bring to your memory. Remember the things that have been stated to make those proper applications. He said, this is your wisdom. This is your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear these statutes. Say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that God has God so near it as the Lord is God is to us? Let me rephrase, say that again. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him, what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself lest you forget. There's the opposite. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. Lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. He says, and teach them to your children and teach them to your grandchildren. The importance of them keeping those statutes, remembering the things of God in addition to his mighty works. And I would assert that we too can remain safe and strong if we remember the truth. That's what Peter was saying in 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to stir you up by way of reminding you. I want you always to have a reminder of the things after my decease, after I leave. Because a reminder, if it is supplied of God's word, will help us to be diligent in our service to him. Remember the words of our Lord. I'll give you three passages and the lesson is yours. In John chapter 15, the words of our Lord. This time it's Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he tells them, he says, remember the word that I said to you. So here it is, they're going to go out and he's going to send them out and they're going to minister on his behalf. He said, remember, a servant's not greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours. So remember what I said to you. And again, you think about that. His disciples going, whether it be in the limited commission or whether it be the great commission that he gave to them, to go out and to preach the gospel of our Lord and the difficulties that would beset them as a result of it. But he said, listen, remember. Remember what I told you. And then those words would give them comfort. In Luke chapter 24, we have another example. On this occasion, it was not Jesus. Jesus had died. Jesus had been in the grave for 3 days, but the morning of the third day, he was raised from the dead. And so as the women came to the tomb to look at the body of Jesus, there were two angels that were there as the rock had been rolled away. And the angels reminded the women, he's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Again, think of the faith as they acknowledge this. Yes, they remember those words. They may not have fully understood those words, but now the words are fulfilled in their presence. And as they think back to that, can you imagine how strong their faith became in the recognition that he was raised from the dead? And then the final passage in Acts chapter 20. This time it's Paul. Paul here is addressing the Ephesian elders. We are familiar with the admonitions. We talk about them quite often. But in verse 35, the Apostle Paul talked about the fact that he had shown you in every way by laboring as he did. You'll remember he did not cease night and day with tears to warn them, to declare unto them the whole counsel of God, to further equip them in their service as elders in Ephesus. He said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so Paul too calls upon them to remember the words of the Lord. Those kinds of things are helpful to us. And I want us to be introspective. Again, it's not the fact that we forget, per se. We simply do not bring things actively to our remembrance. I suppose that as we grow older, remembering sometimes is a little bit more difficult. And it's been said that individuals who grow older, they're no longer capable of recalling as well as they were when they were younger. And I suppose that is so. I have to admit to the fact that it's become a bit more of a challenge for me, especially with regard to the short-term memory. I've been told that the theory, the prominent theory, is that it's not that those things go away. It's just that the mind gets so full. And with everything else, as a result of those kinds of things, the ones that are deeply ingrained are easily brought to the surface, but the other things often are more difficult to grasp. Hypnosis, for example, people can become remember things when they're hypnotized because they relax and their mind becomes more focused, and we're so distracted that sometimes we forget. But as we grow older, we forget where we put our keys, we forget why we walked into the kitchen. And if you're like I have no doubt some of you have opened the door to the refrigerator and then just stood there with the door open for a little while wondering why you had opened it in the first place. So those kinds of things happen. But you haven't forgotten the important things. You haven't forgotten the halcyon days of your childhood. You haven't forgotten those memories that you had of your family and your loves and your losses and the big things of your life. And I have certainly no doubt that if you persist, there will be those remembrances of the Lord. Remembrances of His grace and favor that have been bestowed upon you. Remembrances of all the mighty works that He has accomplished in your life. And you certainly can be, as you are more mindful, you can bring those words, those statutes, those commandments, those directives that are found in God's Word. Be mindful of those kinds of things because they will direct your paths in righteousness as you seek to serve the Lord. You just have to activate those memories. And that's what we would call you to do in the lesson today. I hope and pray that what we've talked about is beneficial to you. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. And again, we call upon you to remember what Jesus Christ has done for all mankind. Remember the reading of Isaiah 53 that was done as we contemplated those things at the serving of the supper. Remember the fact that he suffered as a result of our iniquities, that he died that death on the cross, and the burdens of our sin were put upon him. Remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember the call of Peter in Acts the second chapter to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Remember the good confession that Peter made in Matthew chapter 16 as he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We call upon you to remember the things of God. Remember the death of our Lord, His resurrection from the dead, and based upon that, as you remember what God would have you to do to respond in obedience to His will. We offer you that opportunity today. If there is anyone who is here, perhaps you have also lost your first love and need to bring forth those first fruits and repent and reform your life, we can encourage you in any way to answer the invitation called at this time. We extend it. If you have that need, we ask that you come. All together we stand while we sing.